KTBB Friday Morning News Time 7:50. Welcome in. Best day of the week, and as always, we do every Friday. We check in with KTBB owner, general manager, Paul Gleiser, and you tell me what's on your mind, sir.
Hey, Garth, good morning. We're sponsored by K.E. Sellers, Tyler's European-style boutique winery in the French Quarter on South Broadway across from the mall. Okay, it's late in the game. You're out of ideas. You still have friends and family to remember at Christmas, and you don't have the time, and besides, you don't have a clue. I have the clue. Go to K.E. Sellers today. Pick up as many Keepersall Estates gift cards as you have names on your list. A Keepersall Estates gift card fits everyone, and it will be appreciated. It can be used at the award-winning Keepersall Estates restaurant for a wonderful evening of fine dining. It can be used at K.E. Sellers, Tyler's European-style boutique winery, to buy one of the hundreds of fine Texas wines that they offer. Or it can even be used at Studio 333, the state-of-the-art digital recording studio on the grounds of Keepersall Estates, and you can make that next Grammy Award-winning album. Thanks to the generosity of a great friend, I'm currently awash in K.E. Sellers' 2005 Cabernet Sauvignon, one of the finest reds in the collection. I must say the holiday season is going well for me. Stop stressing, grab gift cards for the Keepersall family of fine dining and fine wines at K.E. Sellers, Tyler's European-style boutique winery in the French Quarter on South Broadway across from the mall, and online at kesellers.com. With all of the news of the past weeks, if I could, I would wave a wand, and the federal government would take a giant step backward. I mean a giant step. The two biggest stories of 2008 are the home mortgage meltdown and the auto industry collapse. The federal government is neck deep in both, and look at the mess that has been made. And I'm not talking about recent attempts by the Fed to clean up the mess. I'm talking about the Fed's role in making the mess in the first place. Why is the government involved in home mortgages? If I want to buy a house, I have to be able to pay for it in cash, or I have to borrow the money. To borrow the money, I have to have lived my life such that a banker will have the confidence to make me a loan. Bankers don't make money until they loan money, so they have an incentive to loan money to as many qualified borrowers as they can. Qualified means capable of and willing to repay the loan. Not everyone is qualified, and those that aren't qualified are unable to buy houses. To the extent that unqualified people want to qualify, they have an incentive to become educated and employable and responsible. But not if the government steps in and mandates that banks loan money to people that otherwise can't qualify. And that's exactly what happened. In 1977, President Carter signed the Community Reinvestment Act, a law that forced banks to loan to customers that might otherwise have denied. In 1995, Bill Clinton, by executive order, put even more teeth in the Community Reinvestment Act. The resulting mortgage paper had to go somewhere, and that somewhere wound up being Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These two government-sponsored behemoths created a market for so-called subprime mortgages that served to take the paper off the books of the originating banks, making it possible for them to make even more loans. When the loans began going bad, as they were destined to do, it put an enormous strain on the banking system, and we now find ourselves in a severe credit squeeze. So get out of housing, Uncle Sam. Let willing lenders and qualified borrowers come together in a free marketplace. The same for the auto business. Let's not talk about the proposed $14 billion bridge loan to the auto companies that failed in the Senate last week. The fact that such a proposal is even necessary lies in large part at the government's feet. It's about Washington politicians and bureaucrats trying to tell carmakers what kind of cars to build and how to compensate those that build them. The Detroit automakers have signed ruinously expensive labor agreements with the United Auto Workers Union because they know that the UAW has enormous clout with congressional Democrats, that if they, the automakers, stood up to the union, they would stand alone. The automakers need to bust the UAW in order to compete with Toyota and Honda and others who have U.S. assembly plants in which the labor costs are much lower. But if the automakers try to break the UAW, they will invite the wrath of Democrats in Michigan and in the U.S. Congress. There's already a whole raft of law on the books, heavily tilted in favor of the unions, and more would likely follow if the carmakers stood up to the UAW. And with respect to car makers is corporate average fuel economy. Also with respect to car makers, CAFE it's called. This law was passed in 1975 in response to the Arab oil embargo. The intention of the law was to force manufacturers to build cars that meet minimum gas mileage standards. The actual result is to force automakers to build cars that consumers don't want and upon which car makers lose money. Auto executive Bob Lutz compared CAFE to trying to combat obesity by making clothing manufacturers only make small clothes. Again, the government has no business here. Consumers can decide for themselves via the price signals of a free economy how much a car will cost to operate and make their purchases accordingly. The government should let car makers build the cars that customers are willing to buy. The economy's in a very painful period right now. I think Congress, if it wants to do good, should drop the tax rate or at least make permanent the Bush tax cuts. I think they should promise to stay out of the inevitable fight between the automakers and the unions. And I think they should be looking for ways to reduce the role of the federal government, not expand it. There is no problem that a politician cannot make worse. That's my word. What's yours? Go to ktbb.com/youtellme and you tell me.